I'm not a Republican or a Democrat. I'm a Truthican. And the truth, as I see it, is that we've been divided in this country by design by people who benefit from that division. And it's not going to turn out well for 99% of us unless we all come together as one human race, realize we have all the power, and tell the establishment to go fuck themselves.
Before Trump won, then everybody was like, these election machines are all fucked up. They shouldn't be connected to the internet, and why are there computers inside them when they just gotta count shit? But then Biden won, and they were like, no, they're fine now.
If you're not smart enough to be my friend, fuck you.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Truthican Podcast, episode 86. My good buddy Mike Baldwin.
Hey.
If you're unfamiliar with this podcast, we talk about the deep state and what Biden's doing, what Trump's doing, why they chose Biden, which I was thinking about that earlier today. I said this before. It's not like I was just thinking about it today, but, you know, they could have picked someone better than Biden to be there, to be the candidate for the Democrats, to become the president. I mean, we think they stole the election anyway. So they could have picked anyone to do that. But we think they picked Biden because he's the guy that can, you know, we think the government is essentially a crime syndicate. You know, that's what they've been doing for a long time, is screwing the American people with their insane taxes, and that it's essentially like the mafia. And they had to choose someone like Biden who would do basically whatever they told him to do. He wouldn't even question it. You know, they're like, listen, we got you the presidency, and here's why, and here's what you're going to do, or we're going to murder you. And he's like, all right, I would have done it anyway, but especially if you're going to murder me, I'll do whatever insane shit you tell me to do. So they could have picked someone better, but they chose him because he was the perfect guy to do whatever they needed to do to keep Trump out and to keep their criminal syndicate alive and flourishing.
I think that's possible. I also think it's possible that the good guys in the situation went to Biden with evidence of all of the illegal shit that he's done over the course of his career and said, basically, look, you're going to do exactly what we tell you to do. You're going to pass some crazy shit. You're going to say some crazy shit. And all of it is going to keep you from having to go to jail for the rest of your life and your family and that shit. So get out there and read the cue cards. And he said, yeah. Oh, okay, all right, whatever you say.
Yeah, either way, it's kind of the same situation. Somebody told him this is what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. And
correct. But the differences are the people that are telling him to do this saying it because they legit want him to do these things. They want these things to be done, or are the good guys telling him to do it so that we can see how bad things can possibly be? And I lean towards that more than them genuinely wanting these things, because who wants these things? Nobody. They pulled, I saw, granted it's Rasmussen, so think about that whatever you want, but I saw a Rasmussen poll the other day that was like 83% of people we polled said we need to do something about the border right now. Like 60-something percent said that it's Joe Biden's fault and like Trump would handle it better. Like 53% said whatever, like a whole list of things. And then at the bottom it said, oh, and these are just Democrats that we polled. So it's like even the Democrats are like, yeah, dude, close the fucking border. What are we doing? Like, it's like that the clip of the Young Turks girl that we posted. That's like, what the fuck are we doing? Like, if this is left, then I'm not left. Like, so I just think that it's all part of the plan. We can talk about it later in the show. People have to stick around for it. But I want to talk about Project Looking Glass and, like, whether it's possible that in the 30s or 40s or maybe 1,000 years ago, somebody discovered either a technology or some kind of magic that will let them look into the future, like Doctor Strange style, and like see possible futures and then figure out how those futures came to be and then make sure that the certain things that have to happen to make that a reality are the things that happen.
And you said that poll that they did was all Democrats?
The results that they gave, those were, I mean, I assume they polled Republicans and Democrats, but they took the stats of only the Democrats. Yeah, I can look it up if you want to know more specifics about it.
Well, and, you know, speaking of that whole thing, I mean, that I think only a few people at this point believe that all these people flooding the border are that they're allowing into the country, rather, are just coming to have a better life. I mean, certainly there's that element, but I think that they're allowing them to come into the country because they realize they have to pull out all the stops to get Biden reelected or whoever they choose to bring in at the last minute. I'm still not convinced that if it's legit that they're going to go with Biden. I still think they're going to switch him out for someone at the last minute. So, you know, we'll see as far as that goes. But
all right. Well, this thing says 82% say it's important now to secure our borders. 62% want more border wall construction. 60% say the border situation is a crisis. 55% see the border situation as an invasion. And 54% say fix America before sending money to Ukraine. All of these responses are from Democrats. And then the one that they posted right after that said 74% say the border is a crisis, 74% see it as an invasion, 71% approve of more border wall, 66% say fix our country before Ukraine, 54% say Trump was right about the wall, and all of these are black voters.
Huh. Well, that's interesting. That, you know, and if it continues down this path, if they keep doing these crazy stimulus packages and draining the taxpayer of their money while they use it for all this other shit besides America, maybe we will get to the point where, you know, because there's military bases all around the country. You know, what if they, a couple of them, like the movie I just saw, the Civil War movie, I can't think of the name of it right now. Is it called Civil War?
I think it's just called Civil War. I haven't seen it yet, though, so no spoilers.
Yeah, I'm trying not to ruin it for you, but I don't think I'm ruining anything by, you know, they.
You say that like Stewie on Family Guy.
What did I say like Stewie?
Ruined. And Brian's like, it's ruined. And he's like, yes, that's what I'm saying. You're ruining it. Ruin.
I never realized I said that word like that before until this moment in my life.
Every time I think about somebody saying a word wrong, I always think of Conrad Courtney, who used to tell a story about his, I think it was his dad, who for whatever reason, I don't know if he was just fucking with his son or what, but whenever he would say the word between, he would always say between. And so I don't know why, but that always sticks in my head. It's in between those over there.
You know,
anyway, whatever.
You know what's amazing to me, speaking of words that people say wrong, is how many people say supposedly. Do you say supposedly?
I try to say most words correctly. Supposedly. No, I don't.
Well, I've got a friend who's one of the smartest people I know. I mean, he was smart. He's smart in with common sense. He was one of those people that got like almost straight A's and never did anything but party. But when it came to like take a test, he's one of the smartest people I know. And he says supposedly. And a lot of people I know that are smart say supposedly. I don't know where that word got fucked up.
I don't know. Some people just say things just because they like saying them that way. My sister is 47 years old or whatever, and she still says Paschetti, and it fucking bothers me every single time. But she says it. I don't know. My mom was the same way. Like, but sometimes people just find a word and stick with it for the rest of their life.
But I mean, she knows it's spaghetti, right? She just chooses to say Paschetti.
Yeah, but maybe he knows. Like, of course it's supposedly, but who fucking cares? Like, I say supposedly. It doesn't matter.
Well, I hear people saying that one all the time to the point where I think people just believe that's the word. And I tried to make a joke about it once. I was like, you don't say you're supposed to go to the store or you're supposed to do something. You know, you're supposed to, you know, that's a fucking D. I don't know, certain things. My wife gets pissed at me all the time because I'm sort of a, I don't know, one thing I'm good at is like spelling and like normally pronouncing things. And I can't let it go sometimes. If someone says something wrong or if they read a word wrong, I'll be like, do you mean this? And then she'll be like, yeah, I guess I did. My mom, God bless her, cannot say October. She was born in October, and she says October. And she doesn't pronounce her H's on a lot of words. Like, she'll say shrimp instead of shrimp. And I'm like... I'm like, do you mean shrimp in October? Like, what is wrong with you? Why can't you say those words? And she says pitcher instead of picture. And I don't know.
The pitcher thing is fine. Some of those are just like Midwestern things or whatever. My grandma, not the one that's still alive, my other grandma that died when I was a kid, she used to say library. And I just remember being like, ugh. Like, that's not right. Why does she say it like that? But, yeah, people are just weird. Anyway.
I also, before we quit this topic, don't like certain... Like, I'm a big college wrestling fan, and people in, like, message boards are always saying Natty Champ instead of National Champ. Like, and they're like, it's an abbreviation for National. And I'm like, well, then just write NATL, you fuckhead. You don't have to write NATTY, Natty Champ. It just bugs the shit out of me. And there's all kinds of things like that in our societal vocabulary that I'm just like, who came up with that and why did it stick? And I get so annoyed by it, and it makes me feel like I'm 90. Just some of the shit that I'm like, why do you say that?
Yeah, I got in an argument with an ex-girlfriend because she was like, let's go to Jimmy John's and get a Sammy. And I was like, never fucking say that word to me again. I was like, this is not gonna last if you're gonna say shit like that. Like, you, it's the same amount of syllables, it's the same amount of effort. Say sandwich, all right? And well, she was like, why? What's the big deal? And I was like, just, I'm not dating a girl that can't say the word sandwich like a normal person.
Yeah, I'm actually glad to hear you say that, because it always makes me feel like such a crotchety old bastard when I can't stand stuff like that. So
yeah, we do have a lot of in common as far as the way our brains work, I think.
Anyway, let's move on here, I guess. Speaking of what we were talking about with Biden and why they chose him, you know, with all the shit that Trump's going through and has gone through, I mean, this is nothing new for us to say on this podcast, but he wouldn't do all this if there weren't a bigger reason than even just becoming the president again. Like, he's already been the president. If he wanted to just have that for bragging rights, he could just ride off in the sunset with his super hot wife and his billions of dollars and be happy instead of going through all this shit and all these kangaroo courts and all these fake trials that he's dealing with. You know, no one would, I feel like no one would put themselves through that if it weren't for the light at the end of the tunnel, which is him becoming like one of the greatest figures in American history, world history, if you look at it. Like, he knows that his legacy, if all this comes to fruition like we hope and think it will, his legacy will be, this is the guy who shined a light on how dirty and gross everything was and changed it all, who got America back to what the founding fathers intended it to be, where we had our own currency and we weren't getting screwed on taxes all the time. So I believe that's why he's doing all this. And I think it just bears repeating that he's not what they've made him out to be. And even if we're completely wrong, you and I think the way we do for good reasons. You know, that can't be said enough. It's not because we're like, you know, white supremacists or any of that other horse shit they've come up with in their in the last few years about why he can't be elected again. He's just the worst thing ever. It's just so absurd to me.
I can't disagree with anything that you just said.
All right. Good. So what's next here? George Soros, I noticed, donated another $65 million to, I don't know if it's just the Democrat Party or to Biden's campaign. I should have that information in front of me. I think I do, actually. I think I screenshotted it. But what a cancer on society, fucking George Soros. And, you know, if it'd be one thing if he was just going to die in a few years and then it would be over. But he's got a son coming up that's young and is just as crazy, if not worse, than he is. And I don't think he's crazy at all. I think he just knows that he stands to benefit from helping this carnage continue.
Yeah. I mean, they've got a plan, it sounds like, and they're doing everything they can to make it happen. According to some of the things that I've listened to, what's his name? Dave on X22 talks about it a lot, about how they had a 16-year plan. You know, Obama was sent in to start swaying everybody in a certain direction, and then Hillary was going to come in and basically put us in World War III. And have COVID come out bigger than it did. We've talked about that before, about how I think COVID was an accident, because if they did it on purpose, they would have sent five different vials of it to five different spots on the earth and released them all at the same time, so more people would die from it. But they accidentally released it in one spot, and then it slowly spread across the world, giving it time to produce variants and stuff along the way. So by the time it did hit us, it wasn't as bad as it was when it hit China. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, like,
yeah, sorry, go ahead.
So they had that would have been part of the plan, a big release of a disease, like masks, vaccine mandates, like control, like fucking stay in your house, and then a war on top of that. And Trump was the one who surprised everybody, got in there somehow, which is a whole nother episode about how they convinced whoever was supposed to cheat to not cheat this time. And that could have been China, Ukraine, whoever the fuck it is, that once it was revealed that all of these voting machines are connected to the internet and you can get in them from wherever and change whatever, then there's an endless amount of guesses as to who the fuck was behind the scenes changing everything. Where were they and what group were they a part of and whatever. We could talk about that all day long. But the point is, none of that shit got to happen because Trump got in there. And now they're forced to do all the stuff that they would have done slowly that would have made more sense to more people if Hillary had been president. Because then once Hillary's president, we go into war, everybody's locked down and shit, then anything Republicans say just sound crazy. Because for one, Twitter's still under their control, so nobody's getting the real truth of, like, this shit is not good for us. You know what I mean? Like, so everybody believes in this shit, and a Republican comes along and runs, and they're like, I'm going to stop all this if I'm elected. And people would be like, why the fuck would you want to stop this? Like, we're saving lives here. And then Biden gets in still, and we end up where we're at right now. I don't know. I don't know where I was going with any of that. But don't
you think that they released COVID in part to get Trump out of the White House?
I think, you know, that the cool thing about not knowing what the fuck is going on is that all sorts of different things make sense. But no, I think that if they wanted, it depends on why they wanted COVID to be a thing. If the plan was, let's kill a whole lot of people, then it was released accidentally. If the plan was, let's just put a disease out there so we can say there's a disease and do a bunch of lockdowns and stuff. Like, it won't kill healthy people or whatever. It'll just kill people that are old and dying already anyway. But it'll still be a big number. And then we can do all this lockdown control shit. If that was the plan, then maybe they did release it on purpose. But it just depends on what their reasoning was.
Yeah, I think there had to have been some sort of planning as far as releasing it and all that, just because the timing of it was so perfect, just like the George Floyd thing, the timing of it was so perfect for them. You know, I mean, hopefully we'll find out one of these days if there was more to the George Floyd thing, or if it would just happen to be a really great thing for them as far as, like, a political talking point, you know, like, I don't know, I'm not saying this very well, but
I understand though. Like, is all this shit done on purpose? Like, is it all planned? And I don't know for sure, but that just, it convinces me more that there is an actual Project Looking Glass thing going on that both sides have seen. And so now they're fighting to, like, do the things that they know they did in the version of the future that they want. And I bet for the bad guys, I bet one of those things was Hillary becoming president. And they were like, yeah, there's like 1% chance that Donald Trump becomes president and fucks everything up, but that's like never going to happen. So they didn't even plan for it. And then once Trump got in, then they're all like, oh, fuck, this messes up our whole future. And they're like, can we look at the Project Looking Glass thing again? And now Trump's in charge. And he's like, no, you guys don't get to come in and look at it anymore. I don't know. It's possible.
Yeah. Well, what's this video we've got here?
Oh, we were talking about COVID a little bit. This is Dr. Peter McCullough on, like, I forget what the podcast or the show's called, but it's super Democrat guy. And he just basically, the whole thing is worth watching because he's just very calm about being like, this is what happened with COVID and the vaccines and stuff like that. Just play it. It goes along with what we're talking about, kind of.
You have a lesser chance of getting infected or giving it to somebody else. However, you are in so many studies that I've seen, and you can tell me if you disagree, far less likely to get the effects of having to go into the ICU or possibly dying if you were vaccinated. Am I wrong?
Yeah, you're wrong. And here's the reason why. The prospect.
Sorry, that fucking destroyed me. Yeah, you're wrong. Okay, here we go.
But I like that the guy is still just listening and not being like, oh, come on. Like, he does a good job of just listening to all this. So it makes me, whoever Brian Shapiro is, it makes me respect him a little bit more.
Yeah, but I just love that part. It was great. I want to see it again.
Yeah, you're wrong. And here's the reason why. The prospective randomized double-blind placebo-controlled clinical trials of the vaccines never showed a reduction in severity. They never showed a reduction in hospitalization and death. And what's come out over time is the virus has mutated to become a much milder virus. So as the vaccines were rolling out, you know, we were being confronted with a less mild virus. The other thing, I mean, a less severe virus, more mild. The other thing that happened is we learned how to treat the illness. Mm-hmm. So we treated patients early, and we avoided hospitalization and death. So the two major things that saved people's lives were having natural immunity from the first round of infection and then early treatment. What happened with the vaccines, remember, the vaccines came in late, you know, so we're already a year in the pandemic. We've been treating people for a year. Mm-hmm. The vaccines come in late. And in a recent paper by Norman Fenton from the UK, he's shown that there was tremendous misclassification bias. So when they declared that there was a epidemic of the unvaccinated, in fact, the hospitals weren't, you know, they had no idea who was vaccinated or not. They didn't have connection to the CDC vaccine records. They weren't going in the ICU and figuring out people on the ventilator who were vaccinated and who weren't. In countries that actually did have the vaccine status, like the UK, they found far more vaccinated in the hospital on ventilators and dying than the unvaccinated. And in a paper by Shretha and colleagues from the Cleveland Clinic, the lowest risk workers that they have in 51,000 workers are the unvaccinated. And with every single injection, one is more and more likely to get COVID-19. Now, the deaths that have been reported after the vaccine are unprecedented.
I cut it there. The whole interview was pretty interesting and pretty good, so it's worth watching. Look that up. Dr. Peter McCullough.
Was that on McCullough's podcast, or was that Brian Shapiro's guy?
I think that was Brian Shapiro's show. I think he had Dr. McCullough on. I'm not 100% positive, but I know if you type in McCullough interview, it's going to be one of the top things, especially if you look on X.
By the end of it, did that guy still feel the way he did, or
they talked about several different subjects. That's basically the end of him talking about COVID and stuff. There's another minute or so of it, but I'd cut it out just so we can have more time to talk about whatever bullshit we're talking about. Hold on here. Let's see if I can connect that to anything. Nope, I can't. But we can either watch a video about OJ. Oh, yeah, OJ died. May he rest in peace or burn in hell, depending on how you feel about him. Then there's also that thing, which is Robert F. Kennedy talking about whether or not the CIA assassinated his uncle.
And his dad, probably, right? I know they didn't talk about it in that particular clip, but I wonder if he thinks the CIA killed his dad, too.
Yeah, he's talked about that in an interview before also, about how, like, the guy who killed him, like, he doesn't think, because the guy was, like, in front of him and the shot hit him from the back or something like that. I don't remember exactly, but he's definitely in that camp of, like, it wasn't the way they said that it happened. And then that other video is a thing about Alvin Bragg, who is the prosecutor that's going after Trump in New York City right now for the Stormy Daniels thing, which is, it's fucked up because fucking Stormy Daniels is not illegal. Telling Stormy Daniels, I'll give you X amount of dollars to shut the fuck up about this is not illegal. Having your lawyer pay her for you is not illegal. But doing all of those things together somehow make it illegal because of election or something. I don't know. And basically, even on the MSNBC clips and stuff that I've seen, people are skeptical about this case. And so it's interesting. So far they've picked 7 of the 12 jurors for the thing. And like New York City, that's where it's at, is in New York City. So they're picking New York City people to be a part of this jury. New York City voted like 80% for Biden. So the odds of them getting any Trump supporters on the jury are very low. I don't know, man. Like we've said before, like Trump could literally run for president from jail, and maybe he will.
It's crazy to me that he can potentially do that, and you can't vote if you've been in prison, correct?
You cannot vote if you've... I know... If you had asked me 10 years ago, I would have said, yeah, you can't vote if you've been a felon. But I think some states since then have changed, like, what kind of felon... those kind of rules, and I don't know which ones or what the rules are, but I know that it's not just you can't vote if you're a felon 100%. I don't think. I said I know for a fact. I don't think. Let's look it up here. Talk about something else.
Okay. Well, I want to play this video in a second, but yeah, never mind. I kind of lost what I was saying, which... makes me seem very unprofessional. I apologize. But are you ready for this video, or do we want to see if he's eligible to, or if criminals are eligible to vote? I just think it's weird that we could potentially have a guy running for president while he's behind bars. Like, do they make like certain, they let him do campaign speeches from prison? Like, how would that work?
From just like the prison phone. So it's just his voice. I don't know. I mean, I know that it's part of some law, like he has to have the Secret Service with him. So if they try to actually put him in a jail cell, then his bodyguards are going to be like, we're going in there too. Like, so they just, these poor guys are like, dude, I just want to protect the president and I'm fucking sitting in jail.
Yeah. I would not want that job, man.
But yeah, there's a lot of states. Just in 2023, Minnesota, New Mexico, Tennessee, Virginia, and Wyoming passed different things that restores rights to citizens, different things. 5 years after their sentence, probation and parole. In Tennessee, you can go to a judge and have your rights restored. And that's just in 23. There were some in Connecticut, New York, Washington, Virginia in 21, California, Iowa, New Jersey in 2020, all the way back to fucking, as early as this goes, is 2009. Oh, no, and below that it says, between 1996 and 2008, 28 states passed new laws on felon voting rights. So, yeah, I was right. Overall, yeah, you can't vote if you're a felon, but a lot of times, yes, you can.
Yeah. And you could feasibly become the president. You just can't vote for yourself.
Yeah, that would be fucked up. And if he lost by one vote, was just like, ah, come on.
All right. Well, let's watch
any of them.
Okay.
That O.J. Simpson required his own kids to sign non-disclosure agreements before they talked to him on his deathbed. Why would he do that to his own kids? Some people say it's because O.J. wanted to confess to the murders to clear his conscience. Other people say it's because he didn't want his family blabbing about how he passed away. But I don't believe any of these people. I think the real reason for the NDAs is much more crafty. An NDA is a legal contract by which one person promises to keep certain information confidential. If someone demands you disclose information protected by the NDA, you can get a court order that says you don't have to. I want you to think about this hypothetical. What if OJ hid money offshore that he wants his kids to get? How would he make sure that his kids don't have to disclose where that money is to, let's say, the Goldmans?
Yeah, that's, I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, that would definitely have been the smart thing to do. And as much as he went, as great a lengths as he went to make sure they didn't get any money, you know, that makes a lot of sense to me that he would do something like that. I mean, why wouldn't you? If you're in his position,
I don't know, but that seems like, I mean, I think about when my mom, even when my dad, when both of my parents died, like there's no way they could have planned with both of them. It was like, fuck, I wish that I had asked them this before I didn't have a chance to anymore, you know? So it takes a lot of planning to like, all right, have them sign an NDA. 'Cause I'm definitely dying after today. So I got to tell them this tonight, you know? I don't know. That all just seems weird to me, but it also could have been, I mean, if he's dying in a bed, it's not like he's deciding, like, make him sign NDAs first. There's probably lawyers there and shit that's like, no, you got to sign this because we don't know what the fuck he might say.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to have been a fly on the wall for that conversation about, because his kids had to have asked him at some point in his life, did you kill our mom? You know, and I don't know. I guess if you don't want to believe something enough, you won't believe it. But I mean, they still had relationships with him. So it seemed like that would be a deal breaker as far as like even your parents, you know, like if you loved your mom and you knew that your dad killed her, I mean, how do you continue to just have a relationship like that? I mean, I know the parental bond is pretty strong. You know, even if you don't like your parents, I mean, there's countless examples of kids who have been severely abused by their parents and they still love them. So would you still love your dad, even though you knew he snapped and killed your mom? Could he explain it in a way that you go, well, I guess I understand why he almost cut her head off. You know, like,
I don't know, man.
I mean, I did read something once that OJ was talking about explaining how Nicole made him feel, and it kind of scared me how much I understood it, like as far as like just the idea of her being with someone else made you suicidal, and the thought of being with her was just not even a possibility. Like you couldn't be with her, but the thought of someone else being with her, you know, not that I would have ever murdered anybody over it, but it scared
but
me.
If you were given the right circumstances, then yeah, I've been there before too, where like looking back now, I'm just like, wow, I was fucking crazy. Like I'm lucky as far as technology goes. Like I'm lucky that we didn't have cameras on our phones when I was in high school and college and shit, because of all of the stupid shit that I did. And I'm also glad that I learned that I have the potential to be a psycho like super early in a random town with somebody that doesn't really matter, as opposed to doing it to like a girlfriend that I really cared about. but I met this girl after a comedy show one night, and like we spent the night together, and then and I was still drinking at the time, and at some point she's like, I gotta work tomorrow, and I that just slipped my mind, and I was off all day, and so I texted her like good morning and just nothing, and then you know 30 minutes later like hello, question mark. God, it makes me cringe just thinking about it. But anyway, so by noon, it reminded me of that movie Swingers, where he gets the girl's phone number and he calls her and he like says some embarrassing message and then he calls her back again and says something else to make up for the dumb message. And then finally he's just like, I don't think this is going to work out. And he never even got to fucking talk to the girl. So by noon, I'm just like, you don't just fucking ignore people and like exclamation points and shit. I think I even called a couple of times and then I get a message at like 5:01 p.m. that was like, dude, I said I had to work all day. Like, please never fucking contact me again. And I just remember thinking like, oh, yeah, she did say that. Huh. Wow, I'm out of my fucking mind. Like, and then I just erased everything that I sent because I'm like, I don't even want to look at this again. I'm so embarrassed.
It's crazy what that stuff will make you do and how short your memory can be. Like, I talked to a guy today. I'm not going to say his name, but he's really going through a rough breakup. And listening to him talk reminded me of how much that sucks and how when you're in it, you don't think you're ever going to get past it. And no one else has ever dealt with this in the history of the world. And then like a year later, you're like, you don't even give a shit. You barely even think about that person. And when you do, you don't feel like you did then even at all. But when someone's going through it, man, you can give them advice and it's just like a bug zapper. Like none of it gets through. You can tell, I can tell when I was talking to him, like I'm giving you pearls of wisdom here. Like I've been through this, but when you're going through it, none of it registers, you know?
Yeah. I remembered I dated for lack of better words, a crazy girl for almost a year. And I remember my best friend in the whole world being like, dude, she's fucking crazy. Like, you got to get away from this girl. And I was just like, what? Like, you just don't know her like I do. I was totally that guy. And he was like, I'm your best friend, you know, like I wouldn't tell you this shit. Anyway, I know how you feel because I just totally would not buy any of what he said. Hold on, because there's a spider on my window. Tell people a story. I'm going to kill a spider.
Yeah, man, I dated a girl that just absolutely, I would drive all this way to see this girl, and I would like go to the store, and she would be like not treating me well the entire weekend, and I'd be like looking at myself in the rearview mirror like, why do you put up with this shit? What are you doing to yourself? You know, like she doesn't even care about you, blah blah blah. And I'd be like halfway home and like, I'm never going back there again. I'm over this. I'm done with it. And then she would like text me like, you know, I miss you already. And I'd be right back in it, you know. And it was maddening. And thank God I didn't end up marrying that chick or anything like that. Like, it's crazy how that stuff can affect you. So it's just like that. That's why that Chris Rock bit was so brilliant after the OJ thing. He was like, I ain't saying he should have killed her, but I understand. You know, uh-huh. Like everyone understands, like you just don't go to that length, you know, because my thing is, and I've been telling my friends this since I was in high school about breakups, like just when you think it can't get any worse, it gets better. And that has been my experience my whole life. Like when you're just at the end of your rope and you're just absolutely nuts. It's like, that's the final part before you start to see the dawn, so to speak, that you're like, you know, it's weird. Like you finally get tired of being depressed or whatever. And sometimes that's what you need in order to continue, in order to get better, you know?
Yeah. It's like your food for a month is just like a bowl of dog shit and you just eat it every day and you're just like, this is literally the worst thing that could happen to me. And then somebody gives you like a day old cheeseburger and you're like, wow, this is way better. And it's like, I mean, it's still a pretty shitty food that I just gave you. And you're like, I don't care. It's better than that. So it's like a bowl of dog shit is equivalent to like rock bottom, whatever that means for people, whether it's like you end up homeless, you end up brokenhearted, you end up fucking fired or arrested or whatever the case. Like, once you get to that point where you're like, dude, everything is just fucking terrible, then one little nice thing happening is more noticeable than if nice things just happen all the time, you know?
Yeah. Well, two things before we move on. First of all, that's another thing in that movie Swingers that was so great, was when the guy gives him the speech and he's like, you know, you missed the pain because it was part of you for so long. You know, when you start getting like better, all of a sudden you're like, oh, I kind of miss being miserable, which is a crazy thing to say, but you do. And then, damn it, what was I going to say? Damn it, I lost it. Anyway, breakups suck. You get past it. If you're going through it, if you're watching this right now and you're like,
I won't get past mine.
You don't understand. We do understand. It's horrible, but it's all temporary.
Yeah, every feeling is temporary, the good and the bad. Like, I think that's what sucks about our society, is that people don't understand that life ebbs and flows. And they're just like, you know, why am I unhappy right now? And it's like, because you were happy a month ago. Like, that's why. It's because that's how life is, you know, like, you're not supposed to be happy all the time. You're supposed to just do your job, whatever your job is that you know you're supposed to do, and just know that you're not going to feel shitty forever. It's you're going to wake up one day and feel good for the same unexplainable reason that you woke up a week ago feeling bad, you know?
Yeah, I do. And trying to convince somebody that when they're going through it is, I had a nephew one time that unfriended me on Facebook for a little while because he was like 18 and going through this breakup, and, or they weren't even broken up yet. He was, without getting into the whole story, I was like, dude, you got to understand that you guys are probably going to break up. It's just the way it is. You're young. No matter how much in love you are right now, chances are you're going to break up. And he got so mad at me for saying that. He like unfriended me on Facebook and shit. And then like 2 weeks later, they broke up. And I'm just like, I wasn't trying to be a dick. I'm just telling you, I've been there. We've all been there, and it'll pass. And
And I think the same way when someone's like, I'm so in love with someone right now, or like, I'm so happy with my new job or whatever. I'm just like, you won't be. Like, eventually you're going to be like, I don't feel the way that I felt about this when it started. But then, you know, if you stick with it, then you will. I always think of that. There was an interview with some old lady and her husband or whatever, and they're like, what's the secret? You know, like, and they said, you know, whatever they said, communication and butt sex or whatever. But the person was like, did you guys have any bad, like bad days or whatever? And she was like, there were bad years. Hell, there were bad decades. Like, but you overall, it was great. You know, like I wouldn't have wanted it any other way. But yeah, it's not all like, no matter what, name any situation, there's things that are going to suck about it, you know?
Yeah, comedy is a perfect example of it. You know, like sometimes I love comedy, and lately I kind of understand Brian Burgess when he was like, you know that feeling you get when you kill? It's like, yeah, it's awesome. He's like, I don't get that anymore. And now I kind of get it. Like now I have great shows and I'm like, yeah, that's how it's supposed to be. That was cool, you know, but I wake up the next day like still happy about it, which I don't know. I hate that, but I don't.
In our defense, the guy you're talking about, I don't think I saw him write a new joke the entire time I knew him. It was always the same act. Am I wrong about that? Or
yeah, I mean, I started watching him at the tail end of his career, so I don't know, but I think so. I think he, you know, I don't think he wrote a lot.
I mean, I look at guys like that and I'm just like, well, that's because you're not doing it anymore. You're doing comedy, I guess, but you're not doing the full thing. You're not going to open mic nights and writing new shit and sitting in a room with other comedians and laughing all night long and going over each other's bits and that kind of stuff. Like, that's what made me the comedian I am today. And so that's why I try to do stuff like that. I don't do it nearly as often as I should, but that's where the excitement of comedy comes from, is like writing a new bit with a friend and then doing that bit on stage. And it's even better when that friend is there at the show or waiting to go up next or whatever. And you get that big laugh that you guys wrote together, and then you just get to look over and give them like a little like, fuck yeah, like it worked. And then that friend tries to go up and be like, I helped him write that one joke. And the audience is like, okay. And then he eats it because he fucking tried to, I don't know what.
No, I mean, I was in Reno a week or so ago, and my friend Kurt and I, after one of the shows, I wrote so much stuff on my laptop just talking to him, and I haven't tried it yet. And I need to. There's an open mic tonight I should probably go to and just try some of that stuff and see if it works, because you're right, that is the best part of it. When you write something new and it actually works, you know, or sometimes I'll say something on stage that I've never said before and I'm recording it and I'm like, yeah, I just wrote a joke.
Yeah.
So yeah, that is right. What video do we want to watch yet? Are we ready for the RFK thing or?
No, let's do the one that I just put up last. This is Milton Friedman. Do you know who that is?
Yeah.
He's like an economist or whatever. I think he's dead now, but he was like famous for just being a smart dude. And he's the one, Dan Bongino talks about this all the time, about how there's only four ways to spend money. Like, you can either spend your own money on yourself, you can spend your own money on other people, you can spend other people's money on yourself, or you can spend other people's money on other people. And he goes through each one of those. That's not what this video is. This video is all about how to make a pencil, which is interesting, and just hit play.
Lead pencil. There's not a single person in the world who could make this pencil. Remarkable statement? Not at all. The wood from which it's made comes from a tree that was cut down in the state of Washington. To cut down that tree, it took a saw. To make the saw, it took steel. To make the steel, it took iron ore. This black center, it's really graphite, comes from some mines in South America. The eraser comes from Malaya, where the rubber tree isn't even native. It was imported from South America by some businessmen with the help of the British government. Literally thousands of people cooperated to make this pencil. People who don't speak the same language, who practice different religions, who might hate one another if they ever met. That is why the operation of the free market is so essential to foster harmony and peace among the peoples of the world.
Eh?
Yeah, it's a level of smart I will never probably see.
I can't be that smart, but I can listen to that level of smart and be like, yeah. But yeah. I can't repeat it. I mean, I just tried with the four ways to spend money, and he says it way more like simplistically or whatever than I do, but
it's hard. I'm still trying to wrap my brain around the fact that rubber grows on a tree.
Yeah. It's pretty interesting. That's why, what was his name? Goodyear. Was it Charles Goodyear?
So.
That's why he became so rich. 'Cause he figured out a way to, what is that called? Vulcanize it. Which made it like way stronger and made it last way longer. I don't even know if they use real rubber anymore. It might all just be fake synthetic shit, but either way, that one was interesting. I want to see if we have any more unrelated, interesting things. Did you hear the Jim Brewer thing when he was being interviewed by Roseanne talking about Dave Chappelle?
Yeah, it was very interesting. And, you know, when you look at Chappelle lately, he does seem much different than when he was younger. I mean, I'm not saying that's a clone or whatever, but.
Yeah, I mean, all it would take as a society for us would be to find out that there's one clone out walking around, and that just opens it up for everything. Because if there's one clone of one person, then who's to say everybody's not clones, you know?
Yeah. Well, did you have anything else to say about that particular video?
No, but we have it if you want to play it, is what I said. But if you don't want to play it, I'm fine with that. I assume most people might have seen it already. Maybe you haven't. I don't know.
No, I bet they haven't. Let's go ahead and play it. I didn't realize you had it.
What happened between you two? Did you fall out? Or did you just go different ways?
No. We I think different ways, but I'll put something out there that I don't know if we were filming a movie, and he also had a lot of pressure, from HBO and or not HBO, Comedy Central, right?
The worst bunch of people on earth.
Horrid.
Mm-hmm.
He then, while he was on the show, when it was blowing up, and we remember the Aspen Comedy Festival?
That was fun. I did that too.
He came there and he was freaked out.
Yeah.
I said, what's going on? And all I could say is he was visited.
Yeah. That's I think too.
And when he told me who visited him, my heart stops for a second. Oh, I'm like, get the fuck. And I'll never forget. He went, you believe me, right? You believe me, Jim, right? And he's like, they came to me.
Hmm.
And he said the names. I'm like, get the fuck. And what happened? And then all of a sudden he went to Africa.
Yeah, that's what I remember happening. But they never really said what happened. Were you threatened? I mean, I don't know how much you want.
I don't
you
have.
Can't, you can't.
I can, that's none of my business. Okay. But I know for a fact.
He was corrected.
He said, correct.
Yeah.
He was, hey, by whoever it was.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we need to have a conversation. Would you like some of your own coffee in your house?
What?
Yeah, like that heavy shit. And that's the first time, you know, I would, it's, yeah. it, and so when I saw him come back, it was a lot less communication. And maybe he just, you know, maybe he just grows, whatever. But I can honestly say, maybe I'm crazy for, and I am crazy for saying this.
Mm-hmm.
When I saw him completely come back, I really questioned if that was him.
Yeah, I know, right? I think that's
And it. I know that's really crazy.
I think those same things, yeah.
I know that's crazy.
Yeah. I got less people like Jim Brewer and Roseanne that make me feel less crazy for thinking the way I do about a lot of things. Like, there are a few of us who think the way we do, and it, you know, Rob Schneider, those two. I think I would really like Roseanne. I would like to meet her. She seems like I could be related to her. She reminds me of my sister a little bit, like the best parts of my sister. So anyway, and I don't think Jim Brewer would just make that shit up. I mean, why would he make that up? Any of that Chappelle came to him and said those things. And, I think he's pretty ballsy for even putting it out there on a podcast.
Yeah.
That's
what I thought when I first heard it. Cause I was like, dude, if you fucking know that that's the case, why would you talk about it? Like, the same people that were like, hey, do you want a cup of coffee from your own house? That's implying, like, cause we can get in there. We're in there all the time. Even when you're there and you don't fucking know that we're there. That's how sneaky and smart we are. And Jim Brewer's just like, I'll tell that story. And I'm just like, dude, don't. Like, they're going to end up in your fucking house.
Yeah, I mean, I guess his only saving grace is that he didn't say who specifically. He just kind of open-endedly said they.
Yeah, well, and my immediate thought is, like, the CIA or something, you know, or something like that. But it could go way – it could have been the Men in Black and shit, you know. It could have been aliens or whatever.
Yeah.
It could interstellar style, where it's like us from 10,000 years in the future or whatever.
And it's also easy to understand why certain people think that any talk like this is just all crazy talk, you know? I understand it, and it's much easier to dismiss it as that, I guess. You know, it's hard to think that people that you see in your living room and that you trust, like politicians and Clinton, and not necessarily that you trust, but you just don't think that they would ever be involved in some of the things they're involved in, because window dressing, you know, like I remember there was this guy that worked at the Reno Laugh Factory, and I never saw him in anything but a suit. So I had like this respect for him, without him really earning it. Like, he was a good guy, don't get me wrong, but like, I thought of him as a different person than I saw him. One night after a show, I saw him like out by his car, and he was wearing like a t-shirt and shorts. And all of a sudden I was just like, oh, this isn't, he's not like, he just wore that for work. Like, he's not, he's just like a normal dude. If anything, kind of schlubby, you know, but when you see him in that suit and you've never seen him in anything else but that suit, you think to yourself, you know, like, they're a higher echelon than they are, so to speak, you know, and then you realize they're just people, you know. And I think that's how we see politicians or movie stars or anybody like that, you know, like, you find out they've got these weird habits or gross habits or they're pedophiles or whatever. And you're like, holy shit, that guy had, you know, I would have never thought that. And it's like, well, you know, it's not necessarily crazy to think that certain people can be involved in really sick shit, you know, like pedophilia and human trafficking and all that.
Sorry, I'm laughing at that. I just like to imagine the scenario of you seeing a guy in a suit and then seeing him in a t-shirt and being like, fucking pedophiles. Like, and the guy's like, what? No, I just put my comfy clothes on. And you're like, god damn this country.
Well, I didn't necessarily mean that he's a pedophile.
Of course.
Yeah. yeah.
Before we get off the subject of doing comedy or whatever, I thought of a story the other day, and it kind of made sense to me. I did shows in the Bahamas. There's a comedy booker company called Comedy Zone, and they have a room in the Bahamas, and it's like a 2-week gig, and you get to fly out there and party in the Bahamas. You got to do a show every night, but you're there for 2 weeks, and it's an awesome gig. This was years ago now, but there was a pizza place connected to the resort that we were staying in, and when I got booked for it, the guy was like, and you get all the free food that you want from the pizza place, so just go in, tell them you're a comedian, whatever. They have food, they have beer, they have all this stuff. And so I got booked like 6 months before the actual gig. I get an email like the week before I go there that's like, hey, pizza's not free anymore. Like, comedians took advantage of it. No more free pizza. And I just remember being like, god damn it. Like, so now the pizza place, when I go there and I'm like, hey, I'm the comedian, they're all going to be like, psh, like, okay, here's another one. Like, and then that just made me think, like, that's probably how black people feel whenever a crime happens or something like that. And when racist people are like, fucking black people, you know, and they're like, it's not us. It's these fucking idiots over here. Like, don't lump us all together. Don't think that all comedians are disrespectful assholes just because some of us definitely are. Like, I don't know. I just thought of that.
Yeah, there's always somebody that screws it up for everybody. Is that still a gig? Do you still work for those people?
I'm doing Janesville, Wisconsin for them in July, but I haven't done the Bahamas. I only did it once, and I thought that I did well the whole time, but apparently I didn't do well enough for them to want to have me back again, so I don't know.
I've never worked for them, but I've heard about that Bahamas gig since I started, and
it's definitely a good gig. It's, from my experience and from the other people I've talked to, it's absolutely not the first gig that they'll give you if you want to get in with those guys. They've got, I don't know what rooms they still have, but there's a few Comedy Zones down in the Southeast. And then there's like a few Comedy Zone comedy nights that they have at like bars and hotels and stuff like that. And those are like, that string of stuff is what you'll do first before they're like, hey, this guy's good. And then eventually they'll be like, you want to go to the Bahamas? And you're like, yes, absolutely. That's why I've been doing all of this.
Yeah. I'm not sure what else we're going to talk about. We still got a couple of videos, but we're about an hour in. I feel like we haven't talked much about politics today, but I also don't really know what else we're supposed to talk about right now as far as that goes. I think sometimes we need a break from it, even on the podcast. But
I feel like it's still been mostly political, the sort of things that we're talking about, or at least, you know, societal or whatever. Like, yeah. It's all connected somehow. But yeah, we can watch the JFK thing, or we can watch the Alvin Bragg thing, or we can skip both of them and watch what's this thing? Josh Hawley, I guess, talking about they tried impeaching Mayorkas, and I forget who it was. Chuck Schumer, I think, in the Senate, like put up a thing where he was like, "Let's vote to just say this is all stupid and let's not even do it." And it won like 51-48. And so now I think they had Mayorkas in front of the Senate again today. And then this is Josh Hawley going off on him about what a piece of shit he is. He doesn't say it like that, but it's kind of interesting. That girl, Laken Riley, who died, like the guy who killed her, first of all, he was illegal, and then he did some other shit that he should have just been in jail for, and he wasn't. I don't know. But any of those three you can play. I wish this was like where people could vote live right now and tell us which one to play, but it's up to you.
We can watch all three for all I care about. I got nothing to do right this second. By the time we get done, my family will be home, and then I'll have to stop anyway, so might as well just watch all three of them or see what we'll see how long it takes us to talk about each one. Here's the JFK one.
Okay.
About JFK, why do you think he was assassinated?
The evidence of the CIA involvement in my uncle's death is now so abundant and so definitive. There have been, you know, a million documents released now, and many of the people involved in the assassination have confessed, many of them.
I saw that video. I said, why would a president of the United States be riding in a convertible?
Well, back then, people weren't killing presidents.
Yeah.
Now they wouldn't.
Do you know the reason?
The people who were involved were all people who were angry at him for not invading Cuba. And they were also angry at him for ending the war in Vietnam. And 30 days after he signed that order, he was murdered.
Because it would hurt the military, money and stuff?
Look, Vietnam was a CIA project. CIA from beginning to end. David Morales, David Adley Phillips, E. Howard Hunt, the people who were kind of the masterminds of the assassination, were involved principally in Cuba, but also in Vietnam. And they ran the assassination programs, Operation Mongoose, Alpha 66, all the assassination programs. So they were professional assassins, a lot of them. And those are the guys who killed my uncle. And as I said, many of them confessed, mainly deathbed confessions.
Interesting.
Very interesting. And let me read this real quick, because after I watched that video and sent it to you, I screenshotted this comment that a guy made about it. And we also need to get, I can't think of his name right now. I'll think of it in a second. But I had him on my podcast once, and we've got to do it when we've got like 3 hours, because this guy is like really long-winded. But it's also because he has a ton of information on stuff. He narrated and directed and wrote this documentary, JFK to 9/11, Everything is a Rich Man's Trick. I cannot believe I can't remember his name right now. But anyway, we should have him on. He's great, and he knows a lot of stuff. But this guy wrote, and he couldn't have said it any better. Let's also not forget JFK signed Executive Order 1110, which was an order to do away with the fiat Federal Reserve note and introduce silver certificates actually backed by silver. He challenged the private Federal Reserve Bank and their ability to print trillions out of thin air, and that was one of the main reasons he was killed. Everything you're seeing now, skyrocketing national debt and uncontrollable inflation, would not exist if JFK was never assassinated. And that, in a nutshell, is the one of the biggest, if not the biggest, reasons I want Trump to get reelected, because I believe that he wants us to get back to our own currency. And I I think he will. If he becomes the president and doesn't do any of those things, I'll be very disappointed. But none of it's not supposed to be this way. America, I've said it 1,000 times, could be so great and just a utopia if we had stayed on the right path. And all this shit that happens, someone is pulling the strings. No one with any... No, the average person does not benefit from any of the shit that we see going on in our society. The people pulling the strings, meaning the deep state and the Federal Reserve and all that, the people who start all these wars and benefit from it, from funding both sides. The average person, we don't want that. And we're like, why can't they just talk and not have these things occur? And that has to be feasible. So that's a long-winded way for me to say, and I hope that Trump gets elected and they don't kill him before he does, or if he does get elected, you know, because that's what he wants to do, is do away with all this Federal Reserve business that doesn't even, it doesn't benefit the average person at all.
No, and that's why it makes more sense that it's part of some plan than to just blame capitalism or whatever, like I see a lot of people on Facebook doing, where they're like, the billionaires need to pay their fair share of taxes. And I'm like, all right, there's what, like 700 billionaires or something in America, maybe in the world. I don't know the number exactly, but it's a small number. If we just took all of their money, it still wouldn't be more than like what we've sent to Ukraine. I don't know if that's exactly right, but it's a small number. Like, what these people should be saying is, where the fuck is our tax money going? What are you doing with it? Not, we should get more tax money from rich people. Like, people have this idea that because a guy over here is making millions of dollars, that's taking money away from me. And it's not. Like, that's the beauty of America, is that I can go out and make $1 million too if I work as hard as that guy did. And sure, I mean, some people have bad luck, some people have good luck, but overall, statistically, if you work really hard and try to progress at whatever it is that you're doing, you're going to end up in a pretty all right spot. Like, if you're a piece of shit, odds are it's mostly your own fault. Even though maybe some terrible things happen to you along the way. Terrible things happen to rich people along the way, too. They just dealt with it differently. They didn't fucking, you know, dive into a bottle or whatever, you know, or just get fucked up or who knows. Or call the government and be like, I can't do this. You got to help me, you know. Like, they, for lack of better words, pulled themselves up by their bootstraps, which is technically impossible to do. But the point is, like, it, no matter what it is that you're doing, if you work hard and do it to the best of your ability, you're going to progress to a higher level than you're currently at right now. Even if that job fires you and you got to find another job, now at least you have the skills that you gained at that first job. I don't know. I could...
No, I know exactly what you mean. And, you know, I don't want this to sound like I'm preaching, because I'm not, because I'm a victim of it, if that's the word you want to use, all the time. Like, I know what to do and how to do it to get where I want to go. It's easier said than done. But like my high school wrestling coach drilled into our heads, at the end of the day, no matter what happens to you, it's ultimately an excuse. Some excuses are better than others, and some things really suck. But at the end of the day, what are you going to do about it? You know? And again, that's easier said than done sometimes, because we all have our hangups and our issues. But at the end of the day, that's what it boils down to. It's like, you can do something about it if you truly want to. It's easier sometimes, I think, in the short term, to wallow in it and not be productive or whatever. But no one's going to come give you the prize and be like, yeah, you've had the shittiest life. We're going to, you know, give you this $1 million because we feel we sympathize for you. No one really gives a shit.
No, that reminds me of American Idol and like the X Factor and America's Got Talent and stuff like that. Like, they all, the first few seasons of American Idol were like, look at these really good singers who are just really good singers. Like, we don't care who their parents are. We don't care what kind of home they come from, whatever. They're just really good. And then the first few episodes were like, look at these really bad singers. Can you believe these people want to sing? And nobody gave a fuck about any of their personal stories. And then somewhere a few seasons in, there was like one girl that was like, you know, I come from an abusive home and whatever, and but I made it nonetheless. And people grabbed on to stories like that. And then that just became all that the show was about. And it's like, yeah, they're a good singer, but what's their story? Like, did they suffer? Because I want to know that they suffered.
Yeah. Yeah, it's that's what's happened in society about a lot of things. Let's wrap it up with these two videos real quick. I don't know which one to play first.
Don't matter.
Okay.
You know, it's interesting about Alvin Bragg, a person who actually campaigned, quote, campaigned on, I'm going to get Trump. I'm going to get Trump.
Let's talk about what's waiting for the new DA, the docket. We know there's a Trump investigation. I have investigated Trump and his children. I also sued the Trump administration more than 100 times.
I do have a lot of experience with the former president. I led the New York State Attorney General's work and investigation and successful litigation against him and his family.
Elect me, you know, Donald Trump. These are people I prosecuted.
Cases that are high profile and quite consequential. Some of them involving Trump himself. So leading the team held accountable Trump and his kids.
One of the things leading into this vote for the Manhattan District Attorney's office, I know a lot of people are wondering, whoever has this job, are they going to convict Donald Trump?
That is the number one issue. We know he's investigating. I'm the candidate in the race who has the experience with Donald Trump. I was the chief deputy in the Attorney General's office. We sued the Trump administration over 100 times. We had a number of litigations, more than 100, involving the Trump administration. I know how to litigate with him. I also led the team that did the Trump Foundation case. It'd be hard to argue with the fact that that'd be the most important, most high-profile case. And I've seen him up front and seen the lawlessness that he can do. I don't know exactly, I don't know anything more than what's in the public domain, but need someone who's ready on day one.
Just another political witch hunt.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. That guy's a dick.
I haven't watched any of the case. I guess the case itself hasn't started, or the trial itself hasn't started yet. They're still just doing jury selection. But yeah, I mean, I don't think the views are as high. Maybe it will be once the actual trial starts getting going, but I'll be interested to see if, like, Johnny Depp's trial got higher ratings than this Trump trial is going to get. Because I know a lot of people that are just like, I ain't fucking watching that. Like, I know it's all going to be bullshit, you know? And it's not like, even if the lawyer stands up and is like, Your Honor, this and this and this, the judge is just going to be like, jury, disregard that. Like, you're not allowed to listen to that thing that the guy just said. Like, they're going to just try to screw him every step of the way. And then that gets into the whole thing of, like, the judge's daughter working for, like, a Democrat, like, pro-Biden thing and, like, investing millions of dollars or getting in millions of dollars or something. I don't know the whole story. But and that judge just being like, no, that won't affect me at all. And it's like, of course it will. Like, unless you just have no relationship with your daughter, if you have a relationship with your daughter, you guys are talking about political shit all the time. That's her whole job. How was work today, honey? Oh, you're not going to fucking believe it. Like, of course it's political in that family. Like, he should recuse himself. But then what other judge in New York is going to be better? They're all, I would assume they all hate Trump the same, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that part of our legal system has always kind of been amusing to me. Like, now, don't you talk about this. And everyone's just like, oh, no, I won't. And it was like, all right, we're on the honor system here. You know, I've always found that to be kind of, I don't know, just like swearing on the, well, I guess swearing on the Bible is more symbolic than anything, because it's all about perjury. It's not necessarily like, you're going to go to hell now. You swore on the Bible. Because a lot of people don't believe in that at all anyway. But
Right. Like, you swear to God, and they're like, absolutely. And in their head, they're like, I don't get that. Doesn't harm me to lie.
Yeah. I probably won't watch it. I have a small child. I don't have that much time for that kind of stuff, but I'll watch the cliff notes and whatnot. But I also, no matter what they say, I don't see myself at the end of it being like, oh, I didn't realize that Trump is a dick. You know, like I'm too far past all that now. Like I think it's all just a way to try to get him, you know,
off the ballot.
Yeah. So,
yeah, that's another thing that they said was like they could have brought this 7 years ago and they chose not to. They just waited until Trump was like, all right, I'm running again, to be like, fucking go after him.
Yeah,
they're just trying literally everything they can short of assassinating him, which is what they'll, if this doesn't work, then that's what they'll try next.
They had to have already tried to assassinate.
Well, I was thinking about that too, and maybe they haven't, because maybe that's part of the we can finish talking about this, because that's what I was thinking about earlier with the Project Looking Glass thing. So for those of you that don't know, Project Looking Glass is a theory that there's either technology or magic that's capable of letting people look into the future. You can't go into the future, but you can look at possible futures, like Doctor Strange in the Avengers movies. Like, you can see what things are like 50 years down the road, and you can see a million different versions of what things might be like a million years down the road. So they go through, they look at a bunch of possible futures, they find the one with the most happy people, the most people doing well, and the fewest, like, people that are dead, you know what I mean? Like, and countries at war and stuff like that. And then they can go back and go back 5 years before that and a year before that and whatever. And like, what things happened to bring us to this conclusion in 50 years? And they can map it all out and be like, all right, so these are the significant things that happened during that time. And then they can look at other possible futures too. And they're like, all right, let's look at a future where everything the first 40 years happens this particular way, but then we change this one thing there. Does the end still end up the same? And they're like, no, it doesn't. And they're like, all right, so that's a like a significant point. We have to make sure that one thing happens. And they're like, what about, you know, the day he got a ham sandwich, if he gets a corn dog instead, does that change everything? And they type in the corn dog thing and they look and watch and they're like, nope, that doesn't change a fucking thing. So then that's my theory of Trump. And depending on how far back you want to go with it, they could have either planned it in 2014 or whatever, when they were like, let's have Trump run for president. Or they could have planned it in the 1930s. I don't think Trump was even born until 40 something, maybe. I don't remember. But like even in the 30s with what's his name? Tesla, Ford's or Trump's uncle, whatever his name was, John Trump, who worked for the whatever thing that was connected to Tesla through this other organization and yada yada. And then Tesla died, and then John Trump, because of the company that he worked for, was like one of the first people that got to go through Tesla's like papers and records and stuff like that. And it's theorized that there was like a looking glass thing in there, and he was just like, I'll just fucking take this and put it in my pocket. And like, yep, we found it all, Sarge. It's all here in this box. And then he went back to his family and was like, holy fuck, look at this thing that I found. And then they planned this out. So they looked 100 years into the future and they were like, fuck, the best ending to all of this is your nephew as president in 50 years or 70 years or whatever it is. And then they're like, all right, so how do we make that happen? Let's send him to fucking military school. Let's whatever. I don't know what else. Let's give him $1 billion. Let's make him like tell him his whole life that he's really good at real estate and that he's great businessy or whatever, because positive thinking makes things come true. So if this kid's 10 and he's being told what a master negotiator he is, then of course when he's 20, he's going to be like, let me do some negotiating. And then sure enough, just like they planned it out, he becomes a billionaire and then president and then saves the world. But I don't know. Maybe it's all bullshit.
Did Trump go to military school?
Yeah, he went to like Wharton Military School or something like that.
I think Wharton is a school of business.
Well, he went to, let's see here, military school. The first thing that pops up is Trump the Bully, how childhood and military school shaped Donald Trump into a bully. The New York Military Academy. 50 years later, disagreements over... He was named captain for his senior year at New York Military Academy. Yeah, so that. So Wharton was the business school, but I still wasn't 100% wrong. But it's all just made up bullshit as far as being able to look into the future, you know. But if you wanted to control the whole world, that would be a hell of a way to do it, you know.
Yeah, and if people haven't seen the Fall of Cabal thing in the 10-part series, she talks about the, you know, and that's where she gets a little, I almost feel like she shouldn't have put it in there, like if she wants people to believe there's, that could all play out the way that she said it hopefully would, because it seems kind of crazy, but I also think she put it in there because if you look into the past, you'll see that a lot of the things that it almost makes you believe in time travel, you know, like if you watch that last series, that last, the 10th part where she's talking about like the books that were written by the guy Trump, and there's a character named Trump, and that he was abrasive and ended up becoming like the leader of the world. It's pretty interesting shit, you know, and a lot of people smarter than me believed in time travel and all that stuff. So, you know, maybe it's not crazy. Nothing would really surprise me at this point.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I don't know if we want to watch any more videos or if you have anything else that you want to say about it, but, we need to probably wrap this up pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Unless you want to watch this thing from the Blacklist that I was talking about at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, is that the guy that looks like Shapiro here?
No, it's not up yet. The thing that you've got on there, that's Josh Hawley. We don't have to watch that unless you want to. It doesn't matter to me.
No, we can save it for next week unless you think it needs to be watched right now.
Yeah, no, if you share this screen, is it being shared?
Yeah, it's there.
All right, then yeah, just click share screen and then I'll hit play. And this is a cool, somehow we were talking before the show about people being suicidal or whatever and having like where you think like there's no answer and that kind of stuff. And it was just a cool scene from the TV show, The Blacklist, where he talks about, he compares suicide to like a, or he talks about like a suicide bomber. It's just interesting. It's only a minute. Let's watch it. Okay. Tell me when, because I'm not on that screen.
What do you mean by hit share screen?
I'm sharing screen, so it should just, here, I'm going to remove this one. It's just the only thing that you can click on down there. Did you click it?
Yeah.
Okay. Aren't you?
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Those men are after me. It's my problem, not yours.
You made it my problem the moment you walked into the ocean.
I didn't ask for your help. Let me go.
No.
Why not? What difference does it make to you?
Have you ever seen the aftermath of a suicide bombing?
We're wasting time.
I have. June 29th, 2003. I was meeting two associates at the Marouche restaurant in Tel Aviv. As my car was pulling off, a 20-year-old Palestinian named Ghazi Safar entered the restaurant and detonated a vest wired with C4. The shockwave knocked me flat, blew out my eardrums. I couldn't hear the smoke. It was like being underwater. I went inside, a nightmare. Blood, parts of people. You could tell where Safar was standing when the vest blew. It was like a perfect circle of death. There was almost nothing left of the people closest to him. 17 dead, 46 injured, blown to pieces. The closer they were to the bomber, the more horrific the effect. That's every suicide. Every single one. An act of terror perpetrated against everyone who's ever known you, everyone who's ever loved you, the people closest to you, the ones who cherish you, are the ones who suffer the most pain, the most damage. Why would you do that? Why would you do that to people who love you?
I have no choice.
Well, there's always a choice.
There we go.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. There is always a choice. What is that show?
The Blacklist. And they're on like season 10 or whatever now. They might have canceled it or it finished or whatever. But the first five seasons are fantastic. It kind of goes, you could, after, or maybe six, seven seasons, whatever. At a certain point, they're like, all right. Like, we get it. Like, he's, but it's like a what's his name? James Spader plays like a famous criminal guy who like turns himself in to the FBI or CIA and basically says, like, I've got a list of terrible people that are worse than me, and I'll fucking help you guys catch them one at a time from my list if you just, you know, don't throw me in jail or whatever. But it's up to you. Throw me in jail forever and you'll never know about all of these people on the list that I have. So every episode's like a new bad guy that they're going after. So it's like a bad guy going after other bad guys. It's pretty good. It's really well done.
Is that on Netflix?
I believe it is, yeah.
All right, I'm going to check it out. My only problem with series is I get so involved in them that I can't do anything until they're done.
Yeah.
Like every night, even no matter what I have to do, I'm like, I'll do it after this episode. And then before I know it, I'm not even, you know.
Well, The Blacklist, is that's a good show to
waste your life on.
Yes. And it's not a waste of life. It's joy, you know. But you can also, it's like anything else. Like if you smoke weed once a day, then that's probably okay. But once you're smoking weed 50 times a day, then you've probably got a problem. So you just got to be able to press play, watch an episode, and then be like, all right, no more today.
Yeah, I'm not great at that. And that's also why I had to quit smoking weed, because once I got high the first time, I just wanted to keep doing it all day long.
Absolutely, dude. I got a timer safe that actually helps me if I actually use it. But if I'm planning ahead and I'm feeling good about myself, I'll take my weed and put it in my timer safe and then set it to not go off until like 3 o'clock in the afternoon the next day. And it always sucks when I wake up and I'm just like, fuck, I wish I had some weed right now, because I just want to smoke weed immediately. But then by like 2 p.m, I'm like, man, I got all sorts of things done. And now I've just got an hour left to wait.
Yeah.
And then I get high and then I don't do shit for the rest of the day.
Yeah, it always made me want to do things, but then it never came to fruition. I got a lot of things half done when I was smoking weed.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, good episode. We went a little long, but we tend to do that sometimes. So thanks for tuning in, everybody. Make sure you check us out again next week, and we'll check out that video that we did. We play them all? Did we leave one?
We left the Josh Hawley one, but it's fine. It's not a big deal.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
we may or may not play it next week. You can, if you care, you can look it up on his Twitter. I think Elon actually shared it too and was like, "This is crazy," or whatever he says about stuff. But but we got plenty for today. Thanks for watching, everybody. I'm going to be at Vorshays in Wichita on Friday and Saturday, which is the 19th and 20th. Ooh, yeah, come celebrate 420 at Vorshays in Wichita. And I'll make sure that I'm extra high just to celebrate for you guys.
Yeah, and I should open the podcast with it, but I'll be at the Des Moines Funny Bone April 26 and 27. I'm getting the door deal, so I need to sell as many tickets as possible. So make sure you come check me out there and go to funnybone.com for tickets. And that's it. God bless all of you. Thanks for tuning in and take care. Goodbye.
Goodbye.